You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question of Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live today from Studio City, California. And I'm sure you know by now what our show is about, but I have to go through this every week. We're just going to get through it and move on. But basically, the show is about informative entertainment, and that means that it's our goal to provide you with resource information and tricks of the trade and everything that you're going to need in order to pursue a career in entertainment. Or at least we hope that it's everything. And we want to inspire you and encourage you and motivate you. And we do that by interviewing people that are currently making their dreams a reality in show business. And we encourage everybody to call in and ask questions of our guests between 5:15 and 5:30. And when you call, you see the, if you're listening now live, you see the number 323-203-0815, and we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process to be on the air with us. We're sitting here waiting for you, so just pick up the phone and dial, and here we are. And then if you liked our show and you found that it helped you in some way, and you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, we'd love to hear about it, and you can do that on the forum. If you look up at the top of the screen, if you're on the website now, latalkradio.com, you'll see a link that says forum. You click that, enter an email address, and it takes like 30 seconds, and then you can say, oh my God, I love that show. That show was awesome. Oh, I love that guest. Woohoo! And put smiley faces. And we would love to hear it. And we take the comments and we pass them on to the guests. And then we also keep a copy for our files. And our wonderful advertisers love to see that kind of stuff. So you'll be helping me out as well as the guest. And we have a very, very cool guest with us today. I've been getting a lot of emails from people asking me, what's the deal out in LA with film school? I've heard of AFI, I've heard of this school, that school. Do you really recommend going to film school? Well, I had thought about it at one time, and I was doing some research, but that was a long, long time ago, and things have changed now. So I was able to give basic advice, but I thought, you know, I better have somebody come on who's actually in film school now to give that information. And we have someone here today. His name is Marcus Winters, and we're going to talk to him. He currently goes to AFI, which is American Film Institute in Los Angeles, which is huge. It's one of the best in the country. And we're going to talk to him in a minute, but I just want to give you guys a couple bit of updates on some of my advertisers, what specials they're offering. Carrie Cavalier, who you know does all of my headshots from Cavalier Photography, she is having a special. Now, check this out. Now, she's fantastic. You can go to cavalierphotography.com. That's C-A-V-A-L-I-E-R photography.com. And you can check out all of her photographs. She does not only adults, but she does children as well. And she is running a special. Now, you are going to just drop dead when you hear this. Are you ready? If you get your headshots between Monday and Friday, just for Question Reality listeners, you have to call her and say, I heard about this special on Question Reality. Priscilla Leona told me to call. You can get a headshot deal for regular price. Oh, I can't tell you the regular price, but it's a lot. You're going to get the deal for $150. Oh my God, $150 buckaroonies for a great headshot. And she is fantastic. And she'll give it to you on a CD, and you can walk right out of there with your headshots on a CD. And I think that's for four looks. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it is. Or two looks. I am going to have to get back to you on that. But yeah, so give her a call and tell her I told you about the special, and hopefully you'll get some great headshots. As a matter of fact, not hopefully, you will, because she does great works. I only go to her exclusively. And she's had some celebrity clients. She's done David Hasselhoff and, oh God, who else has she done, Albert? David Hasselhoff, Lou Gossett Jr. I don't know if you guys remember Michelle Lee, Peter Falk. Oh my God, Ellen DeGeneres, Michael Madsen, Aaron Spelling, Hilary Duff, Amanda Bynes. Oh, it goes on and on and on. She does a lot of commercial people. So she does top work, and she does film and digital, which is really cool. So give her a call. And again, Cavalier Photography, if you want to call her, her number is 818-840-9148. And I hope you guys are booking things. If you're an actor, you're getting some work, but remember, if you're interested in doing extra work, there are so many great, great casting websites that you should be on. Most people here in LA know about Actors Access and LA Casting. If you're not in LA, check these websites out. It's HollywoodOS.com is a real good one, ActorsAccess.com, and LAcasting.com. They're fantastic, and you will get work. And they not only book for background, but they do principal work as well. Yeah, they got all kinds of work there. So you go there and you sign up for your little free account, and you are ready to go. So check those things out. And I just want to give a little thank you to some of my listeners. We have Patsy Black from Reisterstown, Maryland, who emailed me and said she listened to the show and she loves it. Thank you, Patsy Black. And then we have, what is the guy in Flint, Michigan? Eric Thomas. He is a relatively new listener and he loves the show. And I thank you so much. He sends me emails and calls and I really love that. I like to get his comments about the show. And we have Tim the Malt Man in New Jersey. So thank you guys. I really appreciate you listening. So we are going to talk to the film school guy now. His name again is Marcus Winters, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. He's a native of Dayton, Texas. I don't know where that is exactly, but we're going to find out. And again, he currently attends the American Film Institute, and he's in the MFA producing program, which is a master's program. As an undergraduate, Marcus attended North Carolina A&T State University, and then he transferred to Texas A&M University Commerce, and there he got a BA in sociology. And he's very impressive. He completed a four-year program in 3 years and graduating at the age of 20. Wow, that is like amazing. I was like so old when I got out of college. Not that old, but you know, 22. He also holds a Master's of Arts in Liberal Studies from Dartmouth, where he studied screenwriting, directing, and documentary film. Dartmouth now, woo! We're talking Ivy League here, Ivy League. And he most recently traveled to Kenya, Africa, to direct and produce an independent short documentary about Kibera. We're going to have to find out how that's pronounced, which is Africa's largest slum. And currently, if anybody's listening, he's looking for an editor. I don't know if he's found one yet, but as of me getting this information, he was looking for an editor. And he also directed and produced the short documentary Native Americans at Dartmouth. So that's going to be interesting. I want to find out about that. And he served as a production assistant on Helen Hood Shear's documentary feature Jump, which explores the world of competitive jump rope. Wow, that sounds interesting. Welcome, Marcus Winters, producer, writer.
Thank you.
Yay! Now, first of all, I want to know, because I am the worst person at geography, where is Dayton, Texas?
You know, that's a question I get a lot, actually. most people have never heard of Dayton. It only has about 5,000 people in it. And Dayton is in southeast Texas, about an hour east of Houston.
Okay.
So if you were listening to the news a couple of months ago and heard about the hurricane,
yeah,
it's kind of in the middle of all the places that it damaged. So it's about 40, I'd say about an hour and a half north of Galveston, and about 45 minutes or so west of Beaumont.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, so. Now, did you have people that were had things damaged in the hurricane?
Yes. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's a part of living in Southeast Texas and living that close to the coast. But you know, my family, they're great. You know, they survived it, and you know, most of my family lives in that area. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty tough. Like, I was here and trying to help them.
Right.
You know, because they didn't have electricity for about a week,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they called me and asked me to look up stuff on the internet. I mean, it was a crazy situation, but that's, you know, it's just a part of how things go. They were prepared.
It is. So. My friend Kelly is from Austin, and she had relatives that were caught in that, and she had scheduled a family reunion for the weekend that it hit, and she had to reschedule that. But that is the price that you pay, because Texas, you can get some really cheap property in Texas.
You can.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's the price you pay, because you will be suffering from various elements.
Well,
isn't it a lot of tornadoes?
There are in different parts of Texas.
And dust balls rolling up on you.
I don't know about the dust balls. where I live.
What are those things that used to roll through the Western films? You're watching a Western, and every Clint Eastwood film, this big ball of some shit rolls on up on you.
Yeah.
And what is that? Is that hay just rolled up in a ball? Do we know what that
is?
Nobody knows what that is. Do you remember those balls? You know, you hear the Clint Eastwood music. I can't whistle, but... You know? And then there goes the dust ball. I call it a dust ball, but it's actually probably not a dust ball.
They used to be great balls of fire.
Oh.
And they got burned out.
They look like some twigs, but do you know, I actually heard of a guy that was in Texas who was selling those on the internet.
He
was selling those big balls.
I didn't even know you could sell them.
I didn't know anybody who would want one. But yeah, he was selling them, and I thought of all the crazy things. Oh, it was on eBay. That's right. It was on eBay.
You can get anything there.
That's true. William Shatner did sell an organ. What did he sell? Was it his pancreas?
Kidney stones.
Oh, it was kidney stones. Gallstones, maybe. Yeah, so I don't know. And people in Texas, they got the dust balls. But so I wanted to know, you are now going. Now, you are going to AFI. Now, tell us. I get a lot of people. Now, I met Marcus because I worked on one of his independent film projects at American Film Institute. Mm-hmm. And he's lovely. He was so nice and sweet. Every time I turn around, he's wanting me to sign a form. And I said, what the hell's going on here? All these forms, right? Because it was my first time doing something for AFI. And I noticed, I thought, well, this is really good, because they seem very organized over there with all these forms that I had to fill out. So I have a lot of questions from people who say, I was thinking about going to film school, but then I hear so many other people who become famous who don't go to film school. What are the pluses of going when you end up with a huge, tuition? So what do you think are the pluses and minuses of going to film school?
Well, you know, I think that's a really interesting question, because that's something that I had to weigh very heavily before I came here.
Are some of the things that you thought about?
Sure. For me personally, you know, I thought about opportunity, because, you know, I came from a very small town, and I didn't know, how do I get from that place to here? You know, I knew that I wanted to be in LA. I knew I wanted to work in Hollywood, and I wanted a big Hollywood career. So I had to think about what my path could be, because there are so many different ways to do it. And people told me, for instance, you know, I didn't need to go to film school, but it was important to me to figure.
Excuse me, Marcus, have a call. Albert and I are doing all these hand motions. Hi, you're on the air. I'm making Marcus nervous. I'm doing all these hand motions because I couldn't understand that Albert, we had a call. Hey.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Priscilla. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God, is that
Hello, my darling Priscilla. I heard you had a birthday this week. Is that right?
Yes, Marilyn, it is. It's going to be on Wednesday, November the 12th, the 12th of never.
Well, you just deserve to have the happiest birthday of anyone I know, because you're so good to people, and everyone just loves you. And I had to call because you're just a darling, and I just had to call and wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you, Marilyn. Oh, thank you for coming back with us just to wish me happy birthday.
Yes, I'm calling from 1955. I don't even have a computer or the internet or anything, but I just knew it was your birthday, so I had to call. Okay.
Thank you, and I hope you and Mr. Kennedy are having a good time together.
Oh, we are. As a matter of fact, he's just popping the champagne now, so I've got to go.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn.
Okay, happy birthday.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. Oh, that was one of my dear, dear friends. Her name is Kelly Foster, and she does Marilyn Monroe impersonation.
Oh, really?
She does Mae West. She just is hooked up in the impression department. She can make herself look like anything. But thank you for that. Yes, my birthday is Wednesday. Thank you. Hope I get some emails wishing me happy birthday. I always love that. Back to Marcus. Okay, Marcus, what were we talking about? And don't be thrown off by the hand signals, because people call in and I make all these airport gestures and just keep talking.
I figured it out.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so we were talking about what were the things you were thinking about. What are some of the things people should think about when they're deciding should they go to film school? So you were saying you were thinking about how can I get to LA?
But yeah, for me, you know, it was about where do I want to be at the end of the day? Begin with the end in mind. So I knew that I wanted to be a producer. Like, that's always what I wanted to do. I started off writing. Like, I thought that might be a good entry into the business, but it wasn't. That wasn't the way I wanted to make my money. So I knew that I had to find a producing program. Unfortunately, there are not that many producing programs in the country.
Correct.
So there are only a handful of them, and not all have the same focus. So the first thing I did was figure out which program and which part of the country, you know, I want to be in. And since I want to be in LA, I had to look at producing programs in LA. And there are only about four.
And where are they? You remember they?
Well, you have AFI,
yeah.
UCLA, and then you have USC, mm-hmm. and then Chapman has one.
Mm.
Now, Chapman's in Orange County, so it's a little bit further out. And of the programs that are here, you know, AFI seemed like the one that would be the best fit for me. And I think that's a really important thing for most people to consider, is what would be the fit for you? Because each school has a different focus. Each school has a different sort of way it's organized. And with AFI, it's very team-oriented. Everyone is put into teams, and you're working on projects from day one. Literally, from the time you walk in the door, you have two story ideas, and you are working on your film. And you do one, then you go on to another one, then you do a third, and then in the second year, you do a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really had to look at that.
And how would they know that without actually starting AFI? Do they tell that in their curriculum?
They do.
Okay.
They do. They talk about that on the website. I learned a lot about AFI from the website, because I didn't visit first. I highly recommend visiting a school first.
Yes. It's like buying a house. You want to visit it first.
You do.
Instead
you
of
do.
Buying it off of Craigslist, which a couple of my friends have. Okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's a whole show.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so
you
went there. And yeah, absolutely. Check it out. Mm-hmm.
So that's one. AFI is probably the only school I've attended that I didn't visit first.
Mm.
But I really recommend it, especially when you're spending this kind of money.
Right.
If you're going to a master's program, doing the undergraduate thing, you know, you have a bunch of different options. But when you're at the graduate level, you know, there are really only about five or six schools that are at the top, and you really want to visit each one if you can afford it, because it's not cheap, depending on where you live.
What are we talking here with? Now, AFI, is that just a master's program?
Or it is. AFI only offers MFAs,
okay.
The Master of Fine Arts, which is a really good degree to get if you ever have any aspirations for teaching at the college level, because that's the credential that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I probably won't teach, but if I wanted to, then, you know, I would have that opportunity.
And do they, what are their pre prerequisites to get into AFI? Do you have to have a degree in film or something relating to film?
No, not necessarily.
Like, can you go if you say, hey, I got a degree, baby. It's in philosophy. I'm coming to your school. Would they say, hell no? Or
No, they wouldn't. You could get in. You could get
in. So it doesn't matter. You can just have a four-year degree in anything, and they would accept you. They don't have...
Okay. But, there's a but, though.
Uh-oh.
See, you have to have a portfolio depending on which discipline you're in. See, that's the key there. So for the producing discipline, you don't necessarily need a portfolio, although it helps. You know, if you don't. I hadn't produced anything before I came to AFI, but I had written, so I submitted a screenplay as a part of my portfolio.
Okay.
If you're interested in screenwriting, then that's the same thing. You have to submit, I think, about 20 pages or so of a screenplay. If you are interested in cinematography, then you have to submit a reel. Directing, a reel. Editing, a reel. Mm-hmm. And then what are the other disciplines? Production design. And I don't really know about what they have to submit, but I'm pretty sure there's a portfolio involved as well.
Okay.
And for that discipline, I think there are classes that are required, certain things like architecture and things that they would need to know in order to do production design at that level. I mean, that's probably the highest level of production design. And there are not many programs around it. AFI is probably one of the best. But again, you know, I haven't been to all the production design programs.
But
you know, the students there are top-notch. They know their stuff coming in.
Okay. So you probably should, at the point where you're considering AFI, you should know that that's what you want to do.
Yes,
and you got to have something to show that you're not just spending your parents' money to go there. So,
or your own.
Or your own, which...
which is my case.
Which is your poor Marcus. He'll be in debt till he's 60.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it is expensive. What are we talking ballpark here with all the schools? What are they running for these programs?
Well, again, it does depend on which one you attend. I would imagine, because I didn't check out all of the schools. For producing, I knew that AFI was the best option for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did kind of look into the other schools. I would say anywhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 to $100,000.
Okay.
For the top schools.
Okay.
Now, you can get a little cheaper, and you can even get scholarships depending on where you go.
So yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Can you get any kind of financial aid or anything for these schools? Or?
Unfortunately, with AFI doesn't offer a lot of scholarships. Mm-hmm. But other schools do. And
do
really,
they give you a damn installment plan? I mean, what, do you gotta fork all the money over and sell an organ to get in there?
Well,
so it's basically just for the rich, right?
No, it's not for the rich, because I'm not rich.
How'd you get your ass in there? You don't have...
Well, you know, I know.
I think I got a poor ass audience. We want to know, how can we get into AFI and we don't have any...
Well, you know, there's financial aid, there's private loan companies.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Financial aid. Do they offer financial aid?
You can get federal aid to go to AFI. AFI does offer some scholarships, but
So they give Pell grants SEOGs?
You can't get any grants at the graduate level.
Okay.
Only if you go to an undergraduate program. So that's one benefit. If you don't have a bachelor's degree, or if you want a second bachelor's degree, then you would be eligible for Pell grants and such things.
I see.
If they're still around. See, that's the other problem with current administration. They've kind of. And then my understanding is that it's getting more difficult to get the private loans for students because of the way the economy is right
now.
But federal loans are still available, and that's one way to pay for it.
And that's it should be on the website. Do they have the fine? If not, you can set up an appointment with the guidance counselor, right?
Yeah, that's always something you can do. I didn't do that because, I mean, I've done it enough times. I kind of know what's available to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know, it's always good to talk to someone in the financial aid office at the school that you're applying to.
Now, do you recommend that for someone like you who has to pay these loans mm-hmm. yourself, and for other people who may not have rich parents to pay for it, what do you recommend the route is to go? What do you recommend they do? Because what if they're thinking, yes, I want to be a producer or a director or this, and they do have some projects, but they have a slight doubt. Should you say, no, go to community college first? Or, you know, what if they think they want to do it, but they're really not 100%, like they don't wake up every morning with the burning in their groin to get the camera out?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's a really good question, because I didn't go to film school right away. I worked a little bit first. I've always known that I wanted to work in film and TV, but I, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it was because I had, you know, a family that encouraged me to pick a major that, you know, allowed me to pay my bills after I got out of college and
right.
pay back some of the loans, not right. all of them. But, you know, I think for many people, there are different options. So I started off with books. I just went to Barnes & Noble, Borders, any bookstore I could find, library, and just picked up any book I could, started reading, learned about different careers, learned about writing. I think at the heart of film, TV, any form of entertainment really is storytelling. So if you are not a good storyteller, even if you want to be a producer or a cinematographer or an editor, you know, that's what you need to know.
Yeah.
So that's where I think a good person could start if they wanted to.
Right.
Another place to start could be a community college, because many community colleges around the country offer film programs
yeah.
or they offer writing programs, and that's another way to start. With me, I chose to go to Dartmouth and study creative writing because I knew that storytelling was something that I wanted to really develop. And so I had an opportunity to take a variety of courses, not just screenwriting. I took creative nonfiction. I took directing. I took a documentary course. And I took oral history. And all of these things really have influenced my style and really helped me to become more creative. I think mm-hmm. that's a really important thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also now a lot of websites that cater to people who are interested in filmmaking and DVDs. So there's so many different places a person could start. And cheaply.
And it has to do a lot with personalities. Some people really thrive under the tutelage of someone else. Other people are very independent and they can study on their own. And they have the driving force to be able to do that. They're very disciplined people. But if you seem to work, like it seems to me, Marcus, and correct me if I'm wrong, you enjoy the atmosphere of being in a classroom situation, much like Albert. You don't want to, you know, go to the library and do all this independent study. You feel like you want to get the knowledge from someone who is experienced to do it, because you could be going down the wrong path, you know?
Yes, yes, I would agree with that. Like, for me, that's a big part of why I go to AFI. And I think that's part of the value in AFI
mm-hmm.
for anyone who attends. I mean, we are being taught by some of the top people in the industry, and we have access to people in the industry. And I know that being in Dayton, Texas, I wouldn't have had access
right.
to those people.
Right.
And that's just the fact.
Right.
You know, we had Sean Connery come and teach a class. We recently had the director of The Secret Life of Bees. She was there.
Oh, I can't wait
and
to see that.
It was a really good movie. You should check it out.
I
really enjoyed
it.
It's out. Yes, it's been out probably a few weeks now.
Oh, my God. Albert, how come we didn't know this?
It was a secret.
It was. He loves Little Dakota Fanning.
She's very good.
She's such a
she's
phenomenal actress.
Very good in the
but,
film.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's some people do have the ability to go out and produce their own little films. I mean, we've known how many filmmakers have we known that have never gone to film school and they're famous filmmakers. I can name five, but there are people who choose to go the film school route, and I think that they do have an advantage in that you're exposed to so many different elements of the film business, because in the end, it comes down to being a business. And
I
find that the people who don't attend film school, they focus more on the art and the craft rather than the business aspect. And that gets them in a little trouble budget-wise. They tend to not be able to focus on the budget. They tend to rely too much on people in other areas of expertise on their project, the producers I'm talking about. And if you go to a film school and you learn about these things in the business aspect, which I want to know how from you, how AFI focuses on the business aspect, you really have a broader understanding of what you're doing. That's my opinion. So if you can afford film school, I would highly recommend that you go.
I would agree with that.
And what about the business? Which it comes down to, you need to know how to stay on budget, because bottom line, if your little creative ass can't keep things under budget, the studios are going to boot you out and get somebody in there that can, because
bottom line
is bottom dollar, and it's fine if you want to do a scene 42,000 times, but you're costing the studio money. So One of the things in film school, I believe, they teach you creative ways to solve these problems.
Right. And at AFI, that's definitely what happens. I mean, it's very hands-on, very collaborative. And like I said, from day one, you come in there with your story idea, you develop it, and you shoot it. So, you know, I just wrapped up my first one. And with that one, you know, we came in.
You're on your very first day, AFI. You slap down your big fat check, and now you're sitting in the classroom. Take us through from there till now what you do.
All right. Well,
in the producer's program, correct? Is that what you're in right now?
In the producer's program.
This is for producer's program. I don't know if it's going to vary, but,
It would vary a little bit depending on what your discipline is.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, the other disciplines, their classes start a little bit earlier, depending on what the discipline is. But so with producer's program, you show up, you have two story ideas. You're asked to bring two story ideas for your first short. And we only do shorts in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So we show up with two story ideas, and then we are split into groups. And of those groups, we have to team with a writer and a director based on, you know, the story that we like. So we team up around an idea. And I teamed up with a pair of roommates, actually, from France. Both from France, and a writer and a director. And after that, we just sat down and we started developing the story. Now, the way AFI works is each week they shoot from, Saturday to Tuesday.
Oh.
So there are 4-day shoots. And the first one started October 4th, which was mine. So I was week one.
Ah.
And being week one is tough if you're just coming into the program.
Ah.
Because your classes haven't started yet.
Oh.
So I hadn't produced before.
So you're having to rely on your past experience.
Yes.
See? Mr. Marcus had gone to school prior to AFI, so he knew his shit, you know.
Well, I knew enough of how to get through it, basically. And, you know, I knew how to ask questions. I knew how to use my resources. And that was something that was useful. I mean, there were other students had experience, so I could talk to them or I could talk to the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I talk to just people who have been in leadership positions. I think a lot of producing is leadership.
Yeah.
A lot of producing is just knowing how to talk to people, manage crisis. And that was something that I had some experience with in my previous job. But also, you know, talking to people who, like my aunt, she was a former principal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most interesting thing, I think, for me was talking to her, because who knew that a principal, you know, dealing with teachers and kids all the time would be able to give me specific advice that fit exactly my situation, the different problems I was having, you know, trying to manage a team or trying to manage the project. It worked out really well, you know, being able to talk to her. But, so that's pretty much what happens. Like,
they
throw you in there, whether you have the experience or you don't have the experience. And so, you know, you go through the process of developing the script with the writer and the director. I would say AFI is a director school. You know, directors, you know, they're pretty, you know, the top shelf there.
Yeah.
So when we are sitting there developing it, you know, the director has a lot more input than maybe at other schools. And the producer, you know, for me in this particular team, you know, I was more involved in the physical aspect of the production.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tend to give notes here and there because I really liked the script. I mean, the writer was great and she did a wonderful job. So I was pretty satisfied. And so I would only make comments when there was some safety concern or production concern. But there generally weren't those. Like she really wrote to the type of production we had, which was a short film, very, very small budget. They don't give us much money at all. And, you know, you go through that. And since I didn't have any classes at the time, you know, I had to come up with the budget. I did location scouting. I did the schedule for the shoot. Let's see, what else did I do? I mean, I did everything, you know, anything that you can think of that needed to be done. Went and got the props. I hired a production designer. She didn't work out for us. And so I ended up, you know, getting all the props myself.
Costume design.
Well, costume design. We decided to have the actors wear their own clothing, which made our lives a lot easier, especially when we're doing something this cheap.
Modern, yeah.
But not all of the students do that. Some students do hire costume designers, and that's one of the great things for us that we have a little bit of money, but enough sometimes to bring in outside people, and that's a good way to make connections.
Right.
And I've met a lot of actors this way, makeup artists, production designers, even writers and editors who've come on just, you know, assisting in other roles
right.
because they're all of us are trying to work. All of us are working towards a career. And there are many people who are freelance. And this is just an opportunity for them. And to network with us, you know, we consider ourselves, you know, the future of the industry.
Yeah,
so,
boy.
You know, it's nice to know to meet the people on their way up. That's how
right.
I look at it.
That's right. So what? So you and the writer and director, you get your little project. And then now I know that I was called by a representative of AFI. I had just, which people, I want to tell you real quick, if you have the opportunity, join the SAG Conservatory. Because what happened was I got this email from the SAG Conservatory, and they said, hey, if you pay $12 and fill out this application, we will send your information over to AFI, and you will be hired by one of the projects within a year or something. Now, I don't guarantee that. You do have to audition, but they submit that over to AFI, and they are one of the schools that work with SAG, so you'd have an opportunity to be in one of their projects. So I was called, and you come in and you audition, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. They actually have someone in AFI, I guess, going through the headshots, and
well,
that helps you guys a lot, right? Oh, the students do it.
We do it.
Oh, because I got a call from someone who said she worked for the SAG Conservatory.
Right. So the SAG Conservatory. So when we're casting the actors, it's a pretty interesting process, actually. We go in. They have headshots. All of the actors who have submitted their headshots.
Yeah, because tell me about that. Because a lot of people submit through Actors Access, and they're like, okay, well, we're sending it to AFI. Where does it go? So take us there.
Sure. So if you're an actor, and I don't work for SAG, so I don't know all of the details, but I know that if you're an actor, you can contact the SAG Conservatory, which is actually located on the campus of AFI, and you can fill out an application, you turn it in. I think they do it once a year, application. So you turn in the application, and then with your headshot, and the headshot is put into a book that all the students can come in and flip through and decide if they want to bring you in for an audition. And of course, we can look at your resume as well, but oftentimes we're casting based on a look.
Yes.
We see someone, and we think this person fits our character, and we bring them in, and we see if they can act, if they can actually, you know, bring that character to life. And so
let me interject. You heard what Marcus just said, people. They initially cast on a look. Now, you could be a hot-looking chick, and if they need a hot-looking chick, you're going to get cast. You could be an older person, an old lady, or an old man. If that's what they need, that's what they'll call you in for.
That's true.
It really is initially the first look, but it doesn't mean you have to worry about, you know, whether you have a big rhinoceros nose or, you know, little beady eyes or this, because keep what you got. I'm all about no plastic surgery.
I agree.
Because you could be looking for that sort of person.
Right.
If you start doing all this plastic surgery and everybody starts looking alike, then they're going to just pass right over you and go for someone with the all natural look.
No, and that's true. That's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it works. So once we find actors and actresses that we're interested in, we will give the list to the SAG Conservatory, and then the SAG Conservatory will call the actors to set up the auditions.
Okay.
We give them the date, the location, and then the time that we've set aside to do auditions. Generally, they take place at the AFI campus. And once that's done, you know, we go through the audition process and we'll choose whoever we like. And then we start the rehearsals. And of course, the schedule is going to be different depending on the project, depending on the director, depending on the producer, for that matter. You know, I know some team right now, they shoot this week. They just started doing auditions this week.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Oh! So stressful,
so,
Marcus.
I know, but that wasn't the case for my team. We cast quite early. Well, I wouldn't say quite early. I mean, we were only about a month into school, so wasn't like we, you know, wasn't like we had a lot of time to do auditions. But we cast, I think, maybe a few weeks before the shoot. This time around, I think we'll cast a little bit earlier for my new project. So,
I would recommend that.
Yeah,
it's always better. I'm all about being prepared with that organization stuff.
Definitely.
I mean, I don't like to for sneak attacks with.
Oh, no, I agree.
I agree with you.
Sometimes, though, it can become a problem just because of the way AFI is designed. I mean, they keep us so busy.
I mean, from
the morning to the night, we have something to do. Some days we have, you know, 6-hour days. Some days we have 10-hour days. Some days 12-hour days. It really just depends on the class schedule. So we have a lot of classes, and this time around, I shoot in January, but I've got a few major holidays. We've got Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah.
I've got Christmas coming up, and then there's New Year's. So my team, and one thing that to note about AFI, it's very international. A third of the students this year are from other countries. So my new team, I'm from Texas, mm-hmm. and my writer is from Canada.
Huh?
He's from Toronto, and my editor...
That's another country, people. Don't be going, what? What do you mean?
Canada. I know, right?
That's another country.
It is, and you should ask him how much trouble he had trying to get into the country.
Oh my God.
That's how we know it's another country. Because he things are different these days.
Yeah,
so he had a lot of trouble trying to get in. But
what happens after you finish your film? You shoot it, then, of course, it's obviously post-production. Sure. But tell us what happens at AFI post-production.
Well, after it's over, let's see. So we shoot it,
yeah.
And then we screen it for all of the students. And that's kind of an interesting thing. When we screen it in front of the whole school. No guests are allowed at this, and it's called Narrative Workshop. And in Narrative Workshop, all of the students and some of the faculty who decide to attend will criticize the film in a very constructive way.
Right in front of you guys,
yes.
While you're watching
You
it?
Sit on the stage, and you can't... I mean, you can speak back if a question is asked, but otherwise you're not allowed to really explain anything. And it's kind of a crazy situation, and it's tough, you know, to sit up there and have someone criticize your film and not know, you know.
Oh,
all
wait a minute. So they watch it first. Though.
They watch it first, yeah. They watch it first, and then you're called to the stage, and it's run by Frank Pearson, who wrote Dog Day Afternoon.
And oh my God, I love that movie.
And he's amazing. I mean, he's very good. He knows film very well, and so he knows how to criticize. And I really enjoyed being on the stage, having him explain things to me. But I mean, it's tough to sit up there and have your peers tell you what's wrong with your film, especially, you know, since they don't get all of the, you know, the background information about what you went through to make it work. But I was really glad that I had that opportunity, and I think that's one of the benefits of being at AFI.
So when they're critiquing, do they address you personally? Do they say, oh, well, Marcus, why did you do this? Or is it more like they attack the director and you're left alone?
Well, you know, honestly, they don't bother the producer too much.
That's why you decided to get
it. It's difficult. I mean, it's difficult for anyone to say, you know, there was bad producing. It's very hard to see.
Yeah.
It's very hard to see bad producing. And I would say from a producing standpoint,
and producers usually blame it on the directors anyway, so you've got a fall guy. Choose the producer route.
Other team members probably will try to blame the producer too, so, you know, it works both ways. But, you know, I think that people really pay attention to story,
uh-huh.
because that's the thing. Story is at the heart of what we do. So people are looking at the writer, people are looking at the director, they're looking at the DP, they're looking at the editor, because they want to know, how did you help or hurt the story?
Mm-hmm.
And they will ask questions sometimes specifically to those people, or they'll just comment and say, you know, I think the editing could have been done differently here, or this was something that I didn't understand,
mm-hmm.
or this is something I liked, or this is something, you know, that I really enjoyed and I want to see more of it. I wish I had seen more of it in the film. You know, they're very constructive. I don't feel that people are very, that they try to attack or tear down
mm-hmm.
a film. They really try to help, because that's the way that, you know, we learn.
Yeah,
we learn that
be.
One.
And I think I'm going to just say it now, I think producers and directors need to focus more on the editing process, because they can have a really good project, and I tell you, what we're going to see as the consumer is what that editor has done. So I really think producers should focus on that, because we've seen some movies. I'm not going to say Hellboy 2. Oh, did I say it? but, I mean, I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was so choppy, and it's like some films, not just Hellboy 2, but a lot of films just seem like they're just thrown together, and it's like they're trying to cram so many. They're thinking, I shot all of this footage and I want to get it all in,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I can't show all of it. So they just do just a big cram job. And
right.
I don't know if that's something that the producer is saying, I want to get it in, the director saying, or the editor just decides to put it in. I have a hard time believing an editor would do that on his own. I think directors are responsible for that. But
they can be,
I
yeah.
really think they need to focus more on the editing, because that's what we're going to see. It doesn't matter the producing and directing, because the editor is going to put it together, and if a director's not paying attention or whoever has final say, it's going to be a patch job.
Yeah, no,
does the director have the weight to make that decision, or does the producer have final say? Or does it depend on if it's a studio? I guess ultimately, if it's a studio production, or if it's, you know.
Yeah, I think it would depend on who's in charge in that situation. I mean,
if it's an independent, you're the producer, you would have that power, right?
I suppose that's possible. I would suppose that would probably be the case. I haven't done any independent narrative films, so mm-hmm. you know, I really don't know. But
you say independent narrative films, what are you talking of for the audience who doesn't know what that means?
Oh, sure. So I'm talking about fiction. You know, I've done nonfiction in my own, you know, personal, not really personal, but you know, my films I've done before AFI
on Friday nights.
Not those films. Those are different. But I did documentary, and so there's a big difference. Like, so with my documentary film editing, you know, once I find an editor, you know, that will be up to me.
Oh, you still need an editor for your project, right?
I'm still looking for an editor.
Oh, and he's wonderful to work for, and he's so sweet and nice. So if you're an editor, please email him. Let me give you his email address right now, because Marcus doesn't have a website, which I was about to tell you. Boyfriend, you need to get a website.
I know.
I'm going to do one for you free of charge. Really? I have a website design company.
Really?
I'm going to do one for
you.
I have
a URL, actually.
Well, there you go. Give me the URL and I'm going to do a website for you.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That's amazing.
An $800 value free of charge for coming on today and being a great guest. Wow. So in the meantime, if you're an editor, email him at mwinters@afifellows.org. Yep. mwinters@afifellows.org. Or this is easier, it seems. mwfilmproductions@gmail.com. What is your URL? Because I'm going to be doing a website for you. What is it?
It's marcuswinters.com.
There you go. Yep, marcuswinters.com.
Very simple.
I'm going to do a website probably as soon as he gives me the material. We'll get it up. So it's going to depend on Mr. Marcus.
Well, I'll have to get some headshots from Cavaliers
while
we're at it.
Yeah, why not?
I was writing down the information, because I need headshots. I have no.
Oh my gosh, she's great. Yeah, You'll love her. You'll love her.
That'll be good.
So we have about 5 minutes, and I want to address. So that's how it works. And after you edit the film, I imagine you get graded on it, and you move on to your next project.
And when we move on to the next project,
So that's pretty much how AFI works. You highly recommend it.
I do. Yeah, I think. It depends on, again, like what your focus is. If you want to be in a very collaborative environment, if you want to be at a school that, you know, is about filmmaking, because even for the screenwriters, they have to work on set. Yep. They have to be a part of the production process.
Right.
And oftentimes they are writing the film. Sometimes the director writes them, and then they'll have a screenwriter story edit for them. But for the most part, you know, everyone is involved in, you know, being on set. The production is the focus of AFI. And then there are classes that help to, you know, I augment your knowledge, and so that you can go out and have a successful career, but then also so that you are able to be successful in the different student productions you're working on. So yeah, I mean, AFI, it's definitely worth looking into. It's a top 5 program. It's one of the best. You have great resources, great access to faculty and to people in the business. So I recommend it. But you know, there are other schools.
Yeah.
Each school, you know, again, will have something to offer to each person.
It
just
depends on what you personally are into.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, the next show that comes on, which I highly recommend, it's called Roll Camera. They have one of your people. One of the people from AFI. I believe he's the top, I hope I'm not wrong on this, the top cinematographer there. His name is Stephen Lighthill.
Is it Lighthill? Yes, he has a class that I haven't been to yet, but I hear about him all the time. I hear the class is really good.
Well, he's the guest on the show coming up.
That's interesting.
So you'll actually see him on the way out.
That's really cool.
So if you guys are interested in finding out about cinematography, stay tuned for the next program, which is Roll Camera, and you'll hear about him. So he's really great. You highly recommend taking his class, too.
I do, yes. And I mean, it's one of the best ones at AFI. So
you've heard of him in
I've You hear about these things when you hang out there.
Yeah, so I guess we'll meet them on the way out. Now, we only have 2 minutes, but I just want any advice that you can recommend. Oh, you know what? I wanted to bring up, this sounds very interesting, how you recently directed and produced an independent short on Kibera, is
Kibera,
it? Kibera, yes. Africa's largest slum.
It is.
Now, when we do the website, can we put a trailer on?
Yes, I would love that.
Well, let's put a trailer on.
That would be great.
Yeah, so, and then also, he did a documentary called Native Americans at Dartmouth. That sounds fascinating. I've never even heard. Like, can we put a trailer on for that?
Yeah, I have the footage. I worked on the editing with a local editor in Houston. But yeah, I mean, I did, you know, did that myself. I'm not great at editing, but we could definitely put a trailer on.
I'd love for you to come back on and talk about that Kibera.
Oh, yeah, Kibera.
Africa's largest slum. Because I think that's something I really think people need to know about.
Yeah.
And so we're going to put those trailers on marcuswinners.com. It is up and coming. So check that out. And maybe, I hope he gets the material to me. Maybe we'll get it done.
I'll get it to you, definitely.
All right.
No problem at all.
So maybe within the month, and I'll let you know. I'll let my audience know when it's up. So any final words? We got 1 minute.
Well, you know, I think people should, you know, if you're listening, you know, go and pursue your dreams.
And
that's it.
And pursue your dreams and choose a film school if you want to learn all about every aspect in business.
Okay.
Thank you, Marcus Winners.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Question Reality.
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to Channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.